Adam Morrison here. When it comes to top-tier contracting, my go-to choice is McGilvery Environmental. They're not just any contractor. They're the best in Spokane and North Idaho. With years of experience, they handle it all. New construction, meticulous repairs, and asphalt overlays. From start to finish, they ensure your project is completed with the highest quality end results. And here's the scoop for this year. McGilvery Environmental has expanded its services to include asphalt paving. That means top-notch commercial parking lots, residential driveways, and road construction. So, ready to kickstart your project? Reach out to Kip at McGilvery Environmental by calling 208-556-6384 for your free estimate. Don't forget to mention my name, Adam from the Perimeter, and experience the difference that McGilvery Environmental brings to the table. Again, that's 208-556-6384, McGilvery Environmental. My number one choice for all my contracting needs.
HDG Architecture is proud to be a sponsor of The Perimeter with Adam Morrison. There is another podcast that you all should be listening to, and it's called If Not Now, When? This podcast, which Josh Hsiang of HDG Architecture hosts, has a clear mission to ignite positive change within the Spokane community. On the podcast, Josh brings together diverse individuals from city officials, business owners, journalists, influencers, and big thinkers to have meaningful conversations about what we can do to help transform downtown Spokane into an even more vibrant and robust community. By talking to these movers and shakers, the podcast aims to inspire and empower its listeners by actively shaping their city's future. You can find the If Not Now, When podcast wherever you are listening to The Perimeter at, or you can find it in the description of this episode.
Welcome back to The Perimeter, Season 3, presented by McGilvery Environmental. It's good to be back. I'm here with Brendan, the producer. A long time.
Since the end of last season, since the Elite Eight.
Yeah. No, it feels good to be back. Obviously, they had craziness in the kennel. What was it? Last Saturday?
Yeah.
Today's...
We're recording this on the 10th. That was on, like, the... Sixth or seventh.
Yeah. So that's kind of the reason we wanted to start the show. Obviously, it's getting to be college basketball. It's halfway through football season. Everybody's getting geared up for, especially in this market for Gonzaga basketball. So we kind of wanted to give a little season recap and then get my thoughts on season going forward schedule, players that departed, new players, ton of new faces on this Gonzaga team. I think it's going to be a theme every single year in, you know, with transfer portals and NIL. I think it's something that will be hard to get used to at first, but then it'll become, kind of happenstance or however you want to put it, the normal behavior of elite programs being able to go pick off some of the best transfers in the portal and then obviously getting high-level recruits. But the flip side of that is you're going to have guys that, if you don't make them happy every year, they can just leave. So,
I was going to ask, this is the third year of the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. And yeah, what are your feelings on it? Like it's
interesting. I think it's fair, for just, any profession. Now I know it's student athlete, but now with NIL, it's like, well, you kind of got to throw some of that out the door. And a lot of things come along with that. I think critiquing of players if they're getting paid opens the door a little bit more. But I think it's fair if you're 18 and older and you're working in any profession, you should have a right to move anywhere you want. Right. Obviously, mm-hmm. freedom of movement. And that's, you know, just kind of a cornerstone of like human behavior. You should be able to go where you kind of want to go within reason, obviously, of exceptions. But in a free society, you should be able to move. If something is not working in your favor, mm-hmm. you should be allowed to change that situation. Mm. But the backside of it is, I think it turns into a little bit of like a minor league feel. And that has a little bit to do with NIL, but players leaving so much. Mm. Like we played Grand Canyon last year, I think I was believing the NCAA tournament, and there was a kid that was on a sixth school.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like there has to be some level of, all right, you have to stay. You get one freebie. I think the rule is actually now you get one freebie and then you have to file for your next one. But all you have to claim is like hardship.
Mm.
So how do you just prove it? And one of the things is, and I don't want it just taken the wrong way, but like you can just say like mental health.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that. But also like that gets abused too, just right. like anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the fence about it. It benefits our program, but also it has a little bit of decline for the popularity of the sport or for people to latch on to teams, because it used to be, you know, you got a good class or you got a good two classes, you know, let's say two really good players in one and two really good in the other, so that, you know, if they're freshmen and sophomores, you used to be like, all right, in 2-3 years, let's see how far they can go. We can maybe win a national championship, and you grasp on to a team easier to follow. Now, I mean, I'm not even joking. Like, and I went to the craziness in the kennel. I went to practice the day before, but like I had to get like a sheet, and I'm like, I don't even know. Like, so 80 of these kids, I don't even have no clue who they are, which is crazy to even think. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But like, it's just how it is now. So again, I'm not 100% against it, but also like you can't just say it's the greatest thing, because it also allows the rich to stay richer. And you know, you always heard that, you know, the improper balance in college athletics, and this has to do with NIL. But it's also like, okay, so if you're like in the Big Sky, like Steele Venters, for example, so player of the year in the Big Sky, goes to Eastern and we just take their best player. Right? You know what I'm saying? And like, so if you're like in the Big Sky, the Big South, whatever, WAC, like a lot of those better kids just go to these bigger programs. So then if you're those coaches, like how do you keep them happy in those smaller programs that don't have NIL, don't have the following? But it's like you don't want to like finish out your career, and I don't know.
Yeah, because like smaller schools getting to the tournament is like is a really big deal for them
monetarily.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah, no, it the units and all that stuff that delves into every, you know, every time you go to the NCAA tournament, the conference gets a unit or whatever it's called, and then they divvy it out between the conferences and the teams in the conference, and then the team that usually gets a little bit more that was the team that went. But it's a really big deal. Like it floats those smaller programs probably for a couple of years, pays a lot of bills, or allows them to pay, you know, another assistant or strength coach or something like that. So I don't know, man. It really is. It's confusing to watch some of the, you know, all the transfers and grads and stuff, but it helps us. So I can't really say I hate it.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
But also it's like, it makes it tough because you have to kind of re-recruit your guys every year. You have to be worried that they're going to leave. I mean, last year we had Efton Reed left after 1 year.
Yeah.
Dominic Harris left, which that felt like more like a traditional transfer. Didn't play for 2 years, got hurt for one. Highly touted, good player. Go somewhere else, go play and go enjoy basketball. You're too good to not play, but you're not going to play here.
Right.
No, nothing wrong with that. It wasn't a character thing or anything like that. It just didn't work out. Same thing with Hunter, though. You know, like you were actually in the rotation.
Yeah.
And he was going to play a ton, I think, this year because that wing spot opened up. That's like Steele and Dusty Stromer. We'll get into the new personnel, but he would have been a for sure starter this year, probably played 25 minutes at least a night. So, you know, that stuff is always puzzling. But
it was puzzling too to see where he went, because like
I thought it was going to be like Omaha or Creighton or, you know what I'm saying, or Nebraska.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like those are decent program. Creighton's obviously good, but like those other ones are not terrible either.
And
bigger names, but Wake Forest used to be good.
Yeah, that's true. I guess
like so it's still good.
I guess like the NIL there is probably good for him. I definitely still think he had a role in this team, and to see him.
Yeah. He would add a huge role. Mm-hmm. So it is fascinating. But yeah, so transfer portal, NIL, all that stuff is I think the NIL stuff will start leveling off here shortly, because it's probably year three of it, right? Year three of it. And eventually, unless you're like a Caleb Williams or like a Zion Williamson, you know, at Duke, when I'm talking to College Basketball Reference, I don't think like the money is life changing, but maybe it is for some people. But like, if I'm a parent, this is just me. If I'm a parent, I have a kid that's going to go somewhere else that might not be a better situation for them sport wise, emotionally, culturally, whatever, over like $50,000 more a year. Like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now I understand that like pays for a lot of things, not count, you know, you're getting a scholarship. I get that. So then it really is a free ride completely, you know, you don't have to buy whatever your food and everything, but still like it's going to get to a point where it's like, do you want to go somewhere for the experience, the culture, or is it just simply about dollars? So I don't know. Yeah. It'll turn into minor league sports.
That's what it feels like it's becoming. So, I mean, just by the transfer portal. I mean, I forget who it was, but wasn't there a guy that transferred to Gonzaga and then transferred out?
Yeah.
And,
Marcus Adams, or I didn't even get his name.
Yeah.
After I saw he came there, everybody celebrated, then he left again.
Yeah.
So I don't know the story. And I honestly, and if I did, I would tell it, but I have no clue how what went down. But he didn't even step foot on campus, essentially, basically. So it's not even worth our listeners' time to go over it. But
The Perimeter will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Hi, we're the Greens. Our family is just like any other family.
Quiet on set.
Okay, maybe not, but just like every family. We need banking solutions that work for the way we live. And ICCU has everything we need. We're looking forward to showing you how it works for us. Excuse me.
Going into this season, we have to kind of talk about what players left and what's trying to replace them. Obviously, Drew Timmy drafted the NBA, actually had a game winner the other night in a preseason game, or a putback that ended up being the winner. So congrats to him playing with the Bucks. 21 points a game or 20 points a game last year, you know, all time Gonzaga's leading scorer, probably for 3 years of that four was the main focus offensively. And then Julian Strother getting drafted by the Denver Nuggets, which I think is a fantastic spot for him to land. Mm-hmm. You know, that's 20 points. I think Julian was at close to 15. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at 35, 36, 37 points a night on a team that scores around, I think we were around 80 or high 70s last year. You know, that's a lot to replace. So it'll be fascinating to see where we get those points for. We obviously talked about Hunter Silas leaving, great defender, only averaged 4. So like, if you're looking from a scoring aspect, would have had a great role this year, but when he left, I had to calm some people down. Like, dude, he averaged 4 points, played 17 minutes. Doesn't mean he was terrible, but like, it's not.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay. You know, I mean, we'll find somebody. And then Dom Harris, obviously, I think him leaving was the right choice for him just in his career. But it's kind of weird when they can transfer within conference. That would used to be his. So he's going to LMU now. So that'd be interesting to see how that works out. But good for him. Beautiful campus. Mm-hmm. Obviously, LA's fantastic. You know, Efton is going to Wake Forest with Hunter Silas. Kind of just didn't fit. I think game-wise didn't fit here. Back to the basket, guys. Unless you're really dynamic, it's hard for you to play at this in this system. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense for him to leave. And then obviously Malachi Smith was one that I think a lot of people were hoping was going to stay for that extra COVID year. Fantastic guard. I thought had a great year off the bench. Saved us in a few games last year. Really productive. I thought another year of college basketball probably would have served him well. But, you know, obviously he makes the right, you know, he made the decision that he wanted to make. And I wish him all the best. And I think he'll have a chance to play professionally, NBA or somewhere, but I think one more year would have helped, but that's just me speaking out loud. Then we lose Rashear Bolton to graduation. I think he's playing somewhere. So yeah, I mean, that's a ton of guys, and obviously Julian and Drew were the most productive. Rashear was your secondary ball handler, your speed guy. That's going to hurt, and very experienced. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where those voids get filled. I think bringing in Ryan Nemhard was a fantastic addition from Creighton. Obviously, mm-hmm. Andrew, his brother, played here, had a great, I think it was 2-year career here, ends up getting drafted by the Pacers, and I think he made the most. Oh, he got the highest contract of a second round pick ever, like guaranteed, like first contract. So like, he obviously made an impression. And I think Ryan is exactly like his brother, and I mean that in a nice way, just like 2 inches shorter. Like, that's all it is.
Yeah,
like, they play the same way. I think Ryan can score it a little bit better, but obviously he doesn't have the size. But they're like fantastic. Ryan's really good off pick and roll. He's really quick. Like I said, I think he shoots a little bit better. I think just Andrew is just more solid, I guess, but you're going to get the same production and downhill play and good decision-making that Andrew gave. And I'm going to do my very best this year not to call him Andrew on the air. And then, you know, after this episode, maybe once more, I'll stop comparing him to his brother just out of respect. You know what I'm saying? He's obviously his own player, but it's like, ooh, a Nemhard, awesome. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's going to really help us. And what I think that'll do is put Nolan Hickman off the ball. And I mean that in the nicest way, but it'll alleviate some pressure for him as far as always trying to make the right decision and play. He is a good decision maker, but I think now he can play more free and try to score the basketball. That's when we had Nigel and Josh Perkins. When Nigel came in, Josh Perkins got to move off the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it benefited Josh a lot, and it benefited our crew. That was one of our best teams, obviously. And we got to get up and down. I think it's going to be similar to that, where we have two really quick guards on the perimeter. And I think Nolan's big enough. He's 6'3" to be a small two. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if there's foul troubles, he can go back to playing the one. So I think it's a brilliant move for us to, you know, try to incorporate those two guards. Now, it must be said, like, there's still some feeling out that has to happen, because you got to see how it looks on the court. I thought it looked all right, and craziness to kind of what they played opposite of each other. You know, Nemhard and Hickman, I'm talking about our backcourt. So I'm excited for the fact of it, but also, you know, it looks good on paper, but it still has to, you know, materialize on the court. The wing spot is the one that's the most curious for me. We mentioned Steel Venters that came over from Eastern last year, Big Sky Player of the Year. They had that crazy ass win streak, and then they lost in their conference tournament. But very good year, very good career at Eastern. Played in Ellensburg. I don't know whatever high school that was, but so quote unquote a local kid, which is local in my mind. He's going to get the nod, I think, at the perimeter spot. Stretch the floor shooter. Kind of creates his own shot, but not great, but will benefit from playing with a better personnel. The hardest thing I think for him is going to be on the defensive end, and can he maintain, you know, like a scoring prowess? Doesn't mean you have to make all your shots, but if it's only judged on how you make shots, then it can be tough.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not productive on the defensive end and then like on the glass, then when you go 1-for-5, then people start going, well, somebody else should play. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like, the point I'm trying to get at is he needs to make sure that he's productive in all areas to solidify that starting spot. I think Dusty Stromer is going to back him up in that 2-3 area. Highly touted recruit out of Notre Dame High School and wherever the hell, LA.
I think it's LA.
LA, outside of LA. Got a lot of pub. They used to play Sierra Canyon with Bronny James, LeBron James' son. So my daughter's 15 and my nephew's 16, and they know like a ton about Dusty Stromer. He's on all the fucking, like, literally House of Highlight, like, all the time.
Huh.
All of that stuff. Like, he has a huge, huge, like, 10 to like 20 year old following. It's weird.
That is weird.
And that's not a knock on him, but like he's like super popular.
Yeah.
And so
that makes me feel old.
I know. Same here, man. I'm almost 40, so I'm just like, Jesus. But he's obviously good enough to play at Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, the only concern I have is just that if he's not like starting right away and having that like, not hype, but he didn't do it to himself. You know what I'm saying? So like, I always kind of like have to pump the brakes when you describe it that way. But like the expectations, I guess, is he going to get frustrated or is it going to be viewed as a down? I don't know what his, you know, circle's like, you know, cause sometimes you have to like, you don't do whatever like the player or the circle wants you to do, but you have to remember that they could transfer and they're high level recruits and they play on a really good AAU team. And if you mess one of those kids up, you ain't getting the ones that are coming right after. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So like there's a finesse part that you have to do. And it doesn't mean you know, like if they're not productive, you still play them. But like there's some little things that you can kind of control to make sure you keep those type of players happy. So I think he will be battling Steele for that wing spot, the three spot.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll have a fair shot to try to win it. But I think Steele, as being a veteran, gets the nod early. Now, Dusty can play the point guard position or like the small, you know, secondary ball handler. He's 6'7". He's deceptively long, 6'6". So I think he will be in the rotation for that wing and then third ball handler, because Gonzaga always plays three guards, three or four perimeters, and then three bigs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they've done that for 10 years. They used to not do that, but it's a good way to like manage minutes. It's an easier way with depth to keep guys happy, and then you shorten the rotations. But it just, I prefer, like when I coach now, I try to sub that way or try to have a team like that. It's so much easier because then everybody plays like 22 minutes, 18 minutes. Like, so then there's no real complaining. Like,
right. Yeah.
Oh, we all played pretty well. We played pretty close to the same amount. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's very fair.
It is fair, but then you can mismatch lineups really easier. I don't know. It's just an easier way to do it. But my point is, I think Stromer will be in that three spot, and then obviously can play the one or the two.
Mm-hmm.
The Luka kid, Krinovich, I think is how you say Krinovich. I thought he was impressive on, he's from Zagreb, Croatia. He's from, I thought he was fantastic in the craziness in the kennel. Actually had a good stat line, 4 or 5, 11 points, 2 rebounds. He played all 20 minutes of the half or the one half or whatever they did.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's an interesting one too. He's got decent size. He played professionally over there. I got to word this the right way. I got to make sure I got to say it. But like, I've played with a lot of Eastern Europeans. Obviously, I played overseas. I played in Serbia,
mm-hmm.
obviously in the NBA and in Europe. They're always tough and they're always like really fundamental. Mm. It's a stereotype, but it's so true. And I think he's exactly what like an Eastern European kid would be.
Yeah.
Super tough, super smart, team first, extremely fundamental. And like he'll just like kind of put his head down and he'll do whatever you tell him to do. So I think he's going to have a legitimate chance to play that third guard spot too. I was like really impressed. I watched him in practice. Not lightning quick, not extremely athletic, but like got to the right spots, made shots. Those Eastern European kids too. And European players, they play pick and roll and space way earlier than American kids. So they understand the flow action that we run, high ball screen, dribble handoffs, cuts.
Mm-hmm.
They understand that it's an easier thing for them to address and figure out earlier. So I think he's going to have a chance to play.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't play, I would love to see him redshirt and stick around.
Mm.
Because I think he's really talented. I was really impressed. But again, I'm going small sample size. I got to be honest with the listeners. I saw him at practice for 30 minutes and then he had a good night, but craziness. But I'm going off of play with a lot of Eastern European, you know, like Croatians, Serbians, Serbia, Montenegro, Bosnians. I've played with those guys, and they're always like tough, and
yeah,
they're always solid. You know, just solid every time.
And he had a bit of swag too. I felt like I liked his attitude when he was on the court. He 100%. He played with a lot of. You could just tell he had experience.
Yeah, I think playing professionally, obviously, would help anybody. But I think those kids, they just grow up playing the style, like a pro style, and I've talked about it in the first two seasons that we play way earlier, so the learning curve is not as big.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he'll have an opportunity, and Fiwi loves solid players, obviously. I mean, that's not a nice take, but like especially the point guard position, if you're not going to turn the ball over and you're going to make the right decisions, you'll find a way to play.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously talked about Dusty. I thought he's got an opportunity to play. I was really impressed with Braden Huff, kid out of Illinois, lefty. He was Illinois Player of the Year, I think, whatever, 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 6'10". Kind of looks kind of not like a basketball player besides the height, body-wise. And I mean that in a nice way, but he just doesn't look like... He's kind of like Drew.
Totally,
you know, where you're just like, this guy can hoop. And then you see him, you're like, yeah, he obviously can hoop, but he's not going to jump out of the gym. I heard really good things all summer from multiple people that he was one, you know, in the gym the most, working his tail off. I heard good things last year. They had a great redshirt year and nobody redshirts anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of cool to see somebody be like, hey, man, I'm playing behind Drew Timmy, Efton at the time, Anton, and then Ben Gregg's like, why should I waste a year? I'm just going to go like redshirt. Like nobody does that.
That's true. Yeah.
So I was actually like, cool, man. Like, and being like the Illinois Player of the Year, I bet you like back home, people are like, you should have went to Illinois. You would have played, idiot. You know, that's hard to do. And he looked fantastic and craziness, kind of looked good in practice, can stretch the floor. Like I said, 6'10" lefty, which is harder to guard. Great touch. Like I said, really impressive. The weaknesses, I think, is probably not a great rim protector just because you can't leap. You can still be there body wise. It's not about just blocking shots, make guys miss, but just from a leaping ability, he's not fantastic. I think, and some of their ball screens coverages, you know, they like the switch. I've talked about that a lot in the last seasons. If he can't handle the ball screen coverages, he'll struggle with that. But I think he's going to play a ton for this crew, whether it be starting, obviously, with Anton or coming off the bench and playing that 18 to 25 minute a role for the bigs. We've had plenty of guys do that off the bench as well. So really impressed with his game. The kid we didn't get to see was Graham EK. Heard great things, had a great year at Wyoming 2 years ago, was their leading scorer. I think he won the Mountain West MVP or all conference for sure. Averaged 19, was hurt. So he didn't play in the craziness. Obviously I didn't see him in the, at the practice either. I've heard great things. Like I said, left-handed, he's more of a back to the basket. The comps I've heard was he's kind of like Sam Dower and like, what was the Serbian kid that just left? Pavel, whatever his name was a few years ago. I don't remember. His Petrusev.
Oh, Petrusev. Yeah.
Petrusev. So like, duck-ins and stuff like that, like Petrusev used to do on the weak side. So we'll have to see on him. But obviously if you're Mountain West all conference, you're a good player. My cousin actually plays football at Wyoming, so I was down there, been down there for a couple of years, and I connected with their head coach, and they had nothing but great things to say about him. Everybody down there,
yeah,
the assistants, like, oh man, we were so sad that he left. I'm glad he was going to Gonzaga, but he's a great kid, great basketball player. So really excited to see him go, but obviously the lingering foot injury is nerve-wracking for him, especially. Yeah. He's like, dude, you gotta get in the lineup here. But, you know, because there's a lot of talent and you're not a returning guy that has, you know, equity in the bank. So, like, you kind of have to get up to speed and get ready to go.
Yeah, when I got to the kennel on Saturday, I saw his, like, line. It was like he had 19 – almost 20 points a game and 10 rebounds per game. And I was like, I was like, oh my gosh. And then they brought over a sheet saying Graham EK is out.
I know.
I was like, oh man.
they do it late. It's crafty. So they, you know, but yeah, that was the year they went to the NCAA tournament too, that season. So he wasn't doing 20 and 10 on, you know, on some garbage or on a bad team. That's a real thing too. People don't realize, like, you know, you see guys that put up numbers and the team's 12 and 18. It's like, well, it's not impactful. Usually it's not impactful or it's not, you know, helping you win. But yeah, I'm excited to see him. He'll be competing for that five, you know, the center role, the five spot.
Mm-hmm.
Anton's the four, no doubt. I think Anton's going to have another big year. I thought he was fantastic last year. Really, really made a jump. Looked good in the, his line was pretty good, wasn't it? In the deal. Let's see here. Anton, yeah, it was 4-6, 13 points. Actually led, he had 13.
Mm-hmm.
So played well. Looks in shape, looks to the part, and hopefully he can have a big year. I think he's an NBA guy if he can, like, really put his head down and commit to it. He can stretch the floor if he can make threes. If he can be like a lockdown defender, which he's pretty good at. You know, like, he could find a role where he could be like a 3-and-D guy, like, honestly. So hopefully he has that type of year. I'm glad he came back, and you know, wish him all the best this season, because he's building on a great one last year. The kid from Korea, June Seok Yo.
Yeah, Seok Yo. I don't know how to say it exactly.
I was told it was like Yo, like in Yo MTV Raps. Yo, like, so like June Seok Yo. So like, and I'm not trying to like,
it's
like, we're not here to make fun of people's names and stuff, but when I first was saying it on the air, I'm like, can we just say Yo? And it's like, me and Huddy were like, yeah, we're just gonna say Yo.
Yo, yeah, that works.
It works, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but I've heard good things about him too. Super strong, athletic. Obviously the language barrier's been difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, context, Rui, obviously I know Korea and Japan are different languages, just so, but that there was that barrier there as well, and Rui's done fine,
right, for,
you know,
sure,
what I'm saying, got over it. And then terminology is another issue, obviously that comes with language, but like, you know, usually like when I played over in Europe, like the terminology was kind of the same, you know, the language, you know what I'm saying, they'd still call a ball screen a ball screen in English,
right? Oh, like, they didn't say it in like,
yeah, but like, yeah, but it was still called a ball screen whether you said it in Spanish or Serbian or not, but it's still a ball screen. I think that has been different as well. So I don't know, I think he fits into that 3-4 spot because he's super strong. But there's going to be, somebody's going to be left out, so I don't know how this works out.
Yeah,
and that's the again, I know we're kind of going long-winded on personnel, but this first episode has to be on who and where do we think guys are going to play, because there's so many open spots. And then we talked about the scoring discrepancies or the scoring loss that we're losing from Drew Timmy and Julian, and even like a Malachi last year. We're going to have to find scoring somewhere, and we've always been excellent at it, especially in the last 5, 6, 7 years. We've been top five in the country every year, offensive efficiency, which is, you know, something to hang your hat on. But we can't just throw it to Drew now and go, all right, go get a bucket and see how the double team comes and spray it out and we'll get wide open threes. So I'm really curious to see, you know, how all these guys fit into the lineup and where the lineup goes, because I think early Fuey might play 10 guys, and he doesn't usually do that. He does a little bit early, but and then it always whittles down, and I always call it 7.5 man rotation. Like, you have 8, but usually just play your 7, and then if you need that 8th guy, you'll play him short spurts late in the season, but it's like a 7.5 man rotation. But I think this year he's going to have to play 10 to be fair, and to kind of see, especially at the big spot, like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, having to replace Drew obviously is big, but like, I don't even see like anyone back to the basket on this team. Like,
I think Graham is.
Graham is.
They say he can make a 12 to 18 foot jumper, but they say he's like a duck in really strong guy. So I think that'll help him get an opportunity to play, because we do like our duck in guys. Mm-hmm. As much as we like to push the pace, we do like to get angle easy ones. Mm-hmm. You know, we've done that for years. But I mean, Ben Gregg has earned a spot last year. You know, he looked solid in the craziness. So like he's going to get first crack at a rotation spot, mm-hmm. you know, and then, like I said, Braden Huff has a 19 in that deal.
Yeah.
And he looks fantastic, and he's been here a year, even though he's a redshirt. So he's going to get a fair crack at it. And so you're just like, you know, somebody's not going to play as much as they want.
Totally.
So I'm curious to see how it goes and how they manage the minutes. I think it's a good problem to have, obviously, with depth, but mm-hmm. also there's gonna be a couple pissed off players and families, I think, as the year progresses, and it's just how it goes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the reality of sports. It's the reality of high level sports that you may be good, and sometimes it's just a number game. It just happens.
Yeah,
it's just not fair, but it's like sometimes it's just a simple numbers play. Like, hey, kid, you could go to Eastern or even Wazoo right now and you'd be starting, but you just can't play here. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you're terrible. It's just a bad, you know, bad shake. So yeah, I'm curious to see how Fuey does that. Genuinely excited about the personnel. The biggest thing, like I said, reverting back, is the wing spot. I'm curious to see how that works. And then obviously how the two guards work together. I think they'll be fine, but I think adding Ryan Nemhard is going to really help Nolan Hickman just on a, you know, scheme level, personal level. It's going to allow him to like kind of free up and just play. And hopefully he takes that opportunity and runs with it and has a good year. He had an okay year last year, but he's going to have a big year. Mm-hmm. You know, if he's thinking just personally, it's like, all right, it's my junior year. I got a big year.
Yeah.
The Perimeter will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Hey, Greens, how's everything going today?
Hey, Robert, we're good. Just checking in on that car loan we applied for.
No worries. Let me pull that up. Yep, looks like you're approved and all set.
Hey, that's great news.
So, you headed over to the dealership now?
Yep, just gotta make one stop first.
And we got a great rate, too.
You know, pretty excited. Great schedule this year. I mean, we go at Washington, which is, I know we've dominated that rivalry, but I'm glad that we're playing at the Heck Ed instead of like Climate Pledge for that game.
Mm-hmm.
UConn at Seattle in Climate Pledge. That's great. Obviously mm-hmm. a chance to, I don't know if you want to call it revenge from last year because it's a new year, but that's a great, you know, series that they're starting up. I think is fantastic. Obviously going to Maui, but it's going to be in Honolulu. It's going to be a great tournament. Open them with Purdue, and then it's Syracuse or Tennessee if we win that game.
Wow.
Then the other side is Kansas, Marquette, Chaminade, and I'm missing the other one, UCLA.
Oh.
So it's a really good field. They always go, it's the best ever, you know, every single year. But it's obviously a really good field. Purdue beat the pine tar out of us last year.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious to see how, because they have basically the same team. Zach Edey's back, and then those two, their backcourts guys that kind of kicked our butts last year were freshmen. Obviously, they're going to be sophomores this year. So I'm really curious to see how we handle Edey.
Yeah.
I mean, they killed us in that Portland game. It wasn't even close last year. That's a tough matchup because you don't want to obviously lose any time, but if you lose that first Maui game, it takes kind of the wind out of the sails.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm curious to see how the, you know, where the, I don't even know where the venue is. I imagine it's at University of Hawaii's gym, but you're missing out on the atmosphere, but obviously it was a tragedy over there. So I'm just glad we're going to the islands.
Yeah.
And that it's still, you know,
because there was talk of canceling it, and then there was talk of maybe being stateside, right?
Yeah, they were going to try it. They were going to cancel it, which was totally understandable. It's like this basketball is the last thing we need to be worrying about.
Right.
And then they were talking about Vegas. And from a selfish standpoint, I was like, oh, my God, I got to go to Vegas again. And I know that sounds funny, and that's not even a joke, but I've been to Vegas like 40 times in my life just from hoops and So it's just like, I'm just like, fuck, I'm over Vegas.
Yeah.
Okay. Because we already go there for the WCC, which is fun. That's enough. But then we're going there December 2nd versus USC.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have been like two straight weekends of, or two like long weeks of Vegas. Yeah. If they did it there. Because mm-hmm. the COVID year, they did it in Vegas. That's why everybody thought. Because when St. Mary's finally gets to go to a big level tournament.
It was in Vegas.
during COVID.
That sucks, yeah.
But so, yeah, it's a really good, you know, preseason tournament. And like I said, I'm glad it's going over to the islands just because it's just cool that they're keeping the event alive. And,
mm-hmm.
And then we have a game at Kentucky in like February.
Yeah.
Which is odd, which is kind of cool. We used to do those games in the middle of conference season because there was, when BYU left, there used to be that odd week where you got a bye.
Yeah.
Or they gave you the opportunity to schedule. And that's when we played Memphis at Memphis my junior year.
Mm.
I think we played Oklahoma State. That might have been there in that time too.
Mm-hmm.
My sophomore year in Oklahoma City. So like, I think it's just cool because it gives you an opportunity to get a super high level game and out of conference. And then it's like, it can be like a seed mover, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're a 4, 3, or 2, or a 1.
Yeah.
It can move you up or down a line if you win that game, you know, it kind of helps your resume.
Yeah. Which is something that Gonzaga doesn't always have in the season. So
yeah, no, yeah. Exactly. So, I think it's a great schedule. Pepperdine at the Spokane Arena, I think, is a good add. I know it's not a marquee matchup, but I think still having a game there after the Kentucky game last year,
mm-hmm.
the building was. You go to that game last
year? Yeah, I did. Yeah,
yeah. The building was electric.
It was amazing. Yeah,
and it was just great. And it was kind of nice to see like fans with beers in their hands.
Yeah.
You have them at the McCarthy totally. Center. So like you just feel the atmosphere, and it's not just based off alcohol, but like you could tell that there was a lot of people there that don't get to go to Gonzaga mm-hmm. games that were there.
Yeah.
And they were genuinely excited to be at a game.
Yeah.
And so I think having games there is great. You know, the story why we stopped having games there. So we used to have them there once a year.
Yeah. What was this? We used to play WSU, right?
We played Eastern.
Oh, it was multiple games, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we played Eastern, we played Georgia. They might have played WSU there before I got there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But how it went down, we played WSU there, but it was their game.
Oh, right.
That was
way before. That was like when I was in high, when we were in high school, I think.
No, but they did play WSU when it was their game too, like mm-hmm. in 2016 or 15 or something like that,
mm-hmm.
14. But anyway, do you remember that year that Memphis came in? I think it was 07-08
mm-hmm.
and beat us with Calipari's team.
Yeah,
I think we shot like 25% and he just, stupid arena, you can't shoot in it and all that stuff. That's where it kind of started.
Yeah.
And in fairness to him, I'm not going to throw him completely under the bus, is like, it counts as a home game and it takes away from your student section.
Mm-hmm.
So I obviously too, I'm like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, so in totality, I'm glad we're back in the arena, but hopefully they find another marquee matchup like mm-hmm. they did with Kentucky or say call. I would like them to do, but they would never do it. I think Arizona would be fantastic, but it's too many brotherhoods.
Totally.
You know? But that was the one where it was like, this is a great rivalry. And let's play each other, you know, blah, blah, blah. But
they seem to play Michigan State secretly every year. Maybe they could just make that game.
I don't know if Huey likes to play Izzo because they're just tough. Like we barely beat him last year in the aircraft game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always a good program, but they're hard out.
Yeah.
Because they try to punk you and blah, blah, blah. But I think it's a great balanced schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And there's enough good ones. There's enough. Not cupcakes, but there's enough that you can get your guys in and make them feel good about themselves and get some wins. And
yeah,
you know, there's a formula to this. People always, well, there should be more high level games. Like, yeah, but there's a formula to get seeds and there's a formula to, like, you do realize, like, guys, I'm just assuming, but I know I'm right. I'm sure there's like a 20 win mark, there's a 25 win bonus, there's a 30 win bonus.
Yep.
On your schedule, you know, on your contract. Okay, so let's make sure.
Yeah, like, it's definitely. I mean, we also have San Diego State as well.
Oh yeah, at home. Yeah, San Diego State's a very good program. Yeah, I mean, played in the national championship game last year. So,
and they could be ranked by the time we're playing them in December.
They probably will be, and they're another club that gets a gazillion transfers every year, and so they slow build into the season. So that's great. A great schedule, and looking forward to it, and hopefully we start off strong. The biggest one, obviously, is, getting into that Maui tournament and playing well in that. Obviously, you want to win that. But if you can get at least to the championship game and most likely play at Kansas or UCLA in that game would be good for the brand and seeding and win or lose. But I think it's going to be a fun year on just kind of what ifs, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy how many like new faces there are and guys that are quote unquote kind of established at other programs and then high level recruits, but you don't know until the lights come on, man.
Yeah.
You just really don't. And so I'm kind of fascinated. I'm a little bit more intrigued than I have been in years past. And that's just not pumping up the first season or first episode of season 3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, we have no idea where the scoring is going to come from. Or there's, who's going to like dominate the ball? Can the kid from Eastern play and mm-hmm. the kid behind him that's got all the hype play, you're just like, shit, it's a lot of what ifs, man. It's pretty cool.
The Yo kid from South Korea, there was a lot of hype for him coming in, and I'm like watching the videos of him. He was like playing against Chet Holmgren and like playing really well, like scoring, I think like he scored 29 points in a game against him and against
USA.
And it is very like there's so many players that we don't know right now that could be the star of this team and come 3 months from now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm 100%. Like it really is like head scratchers on the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a bad way, but like, I wonder what Phoebe's going to do here in the staff. And then, the backcourt situation, like two really good ball handlers, but one's kind of taking a different role. And like I said, the wing position, and then Anton's a great inside player, but he's kind of like a stretch guy. So like, who's going to get that back to the basket? Mm-hmm. Is it Huff or is it EK?
Yeah.
I don't think Ben Gregg's a back to the basket guy. He's a pick and pop dude, which is not a bad thing, but so who is it? Does he back up Anton and then those two back each other up?
Mm-hmm.
And, so I don't know, man. I'm, like I said, I'm really intrigued. I'm looking forward to it. It's fascinating. It's going to be another fun year. I like when it's like this personally. I liked it last year too, when it was kind of like, how's Drew going to do? And then who else is going to pick up the slack? You know what I mean? I liked that aspect. And then we had, we had some up and downs last year. Remember when we were 15-5 and everybody lost their minds?
Yes, I do.
And then we end up being 30-6 or whatever it was, and go to the Elite Eight and lose to the national championship winner, like buzzsaw, like ran it, like they were buzzsawing everybody.
Yeah.
I I'm really excited for this year. As the show goes on, we'll do our recaps, obviously. And predictions and recaps and what's coming down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll get some interviews going like we did a little bit last year. We'll try to get some of the players on if we can.
Yeah. I was going to shout out. I was very excited to see Zach Norvell Jr. on the coaching staff.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get snacks on.
Yeah.
But he would actually be a good one to pick his brain as far as like from a younger player's perspective on how the guys are doing and stuff like that. Cause it's hard to get like Steven and Michelson to talk about that stuff. Not in a bad way. It's not like they're just,
right.
jerks, but it's just not their wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I'm really excited again to the new season. Thank you to McGilvery Environmental for sponsoring us. There's other sponsors who are going to have ads as well. It'll be a fun year. We'll try to keep up to speed. We'll try to be productive for people that are listening to understand. I'm teasing maybe talking about lines and stuff like that. I don't know yet. If we get enough feedback from you know, our social media pages and you know, like on the YouTubes and all that stuff, that comment or whatever, emails. If people want me to talk about the gambling aspect of it, I will.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert. I don't bet on the games, but I know it's part of in consuming sports now.
Mm-hmm.
And some people might want that, my thoughts on it. Like, cause I can.
There was multiple times last year too, when the line was like set and I remember talking about it, and it would be like, and they hit it within like a point.
Oh yeah. It's insane.
It's insane. And it was just like
college basketball is really hard because like Gonzaga's line, it's just completely hypothetical. And let's say it's 22 against Pepperdine,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, man, that's a huge line. You're like, man, you want to bet Pepperdine. You're like, come on, Pep. And then we'll get up 30 with 8 minutes to go. And you're like, Gonzaga's going to cover, man. Holy cow. And then this is what always happens. Okay. And then the end of the bench walk-on guys come in.
Yeah.
And then it closes. And then you're sitting there sweating out if, like, you know, a little used walk-on is going to make a free throw with like 30 seconds left. And it's usually 1 or 2 points. And you're like, Vegas is, they're geniuses.
Yeah.
But it's so hard because there's that five, six minute window in blowouts where they'll play guys that don't get to play a lot and it closes, man.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I'll, you know, I always look at the lines just because I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, Huddy and I just off air, we're like, you know, I'll write it down on a piece of paper, like 22 and a half. And then you'll be looking at me like 20 and you just shake your head, but not say anything. We're like, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
It's so hard to do. In college basketball is hard.
Yeah.
I would give people my opinion, especially on West Coast conference games. But like I said, the ones where the line is like so big, it's so,
mm-hmm.
it's sweat. It's just a sweat fest, man. I couldn't do it. I have buddies that do it and I'm like, how could you bet like a 30 point cover?
Right.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And then like, what if a guy for their team goes off and like, you still blew him out by like 19, but it's not even close to the line, you know, the 30 point cover. That's why it's such a variable.
It is such a variable. I've never actually bet on sports.
I've never bet a dollar legally on sports.
Yeah.
Like on the DraftKings. Like I've obviously played the NCAA pools.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean.
Right.
You know, or like, hey, $100 on the Super Bowl or something like that. But I've never like went to a cage and paced. Actually, that's not true. I bet on Chelsea to win the Premier League when I was in Vegas one time and they finished like eighth that year. So it was a terrible bet. But I just, let's throw $100.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
One of those you buy it at the start of the year and hope, you know.
Totally.
So yeah, anyway, thank you again for McGilvery Environmental for sponsoring us. Keep listening. Let us know if there's any feedback you want on the show, any topics. Shoot us an email, shoot us a, you know, comment or whatever, a DM, and we'll try to incorporate the show. We're open to anything, but once the games get going, we'll recap and you know, do our format like we did last year. I think people enjoy that, and we'll try to get some interviews. So thanks again.
Awesome.